Well, as we get started today, you need to take a look at Psalm 1. We're going to talk about power themes and doing that all summer. Mark and Michael had told me where you guys were kind of heading, and I just sensed the Lord was saying you need to talk about virtue. We don't hear that word much anymore, and so I'd like to kind of share with you what I believe God has put on my heart. And I do want you to know, I've never, other than this morning, never preached this message before. And so I really believe it's a lot for this congregation in this place, in this time, wherever you work, whether it's in Fostoria, Fremont, maybe work in Old Fort, I don't know. God is calling you to advance his kingdom. So let's get started. Psalm 1 is where we'll begin this morning. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight, this person's delight, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, on God's law, he meditates day and night. This person is like a tree planted by streams of water, who yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever this person does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Friends, we are living in a day and age of sexual confusion, gender confusion, and even more so in a day and age of confusion about what is truly good and right and true. Moral confusion. Things don't have to be so hard, though. We can choose to believe the God of the Bible, who is the author and creator of the whole universe and everything in it, or we can deny surrendering our lives to him and go our own way. The choice really is that obvious now. We can stop all of this confusion within our own selves and our families by deciding to take responsibility and basing our lives on what God has ordained or not. Friends, things like the definition of marriage between one man and one woman. Who instituted that? Almighty God did from the very beginning. Things like choosing to follow God in him instituting working as good. And lo and behold, you go out and you start working. Things like parents being responsible for the children that God has given to them. Not someone else being responsible for your children. And in effect, losing your children to some godless way of thinking, or as I've already stated, confusion. If you would, turn to 1 John 2, 4 through 6. We'll take a look at that. It should be up on the screen. But 1 John 4 through 6 states this. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. If anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So today I'd like to talk to you about this little word, virtue. Holiness. Living out holiness in public. Friends, Jesus lived with courage. Let's take a look at Matthew 8, 1 through 3, to see how Jesus actually lived. Lived among sinners, lived among the sick. How did Jesus respond to things? Again, Matthew 8, 1 through 3. By the way, this won't be up on the screen. I wasn't able to get it to them soon enough, and God kind of directed me late in the week. So that's life. Matthew 8, 1 through 3. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. So what is the example of Jesus? He reached out and touched this very contagious person. Leprosy is highly contagious. Not only that, I think we can all hopefully see when you reach out and touch somebody, you're kind of in their grill, aren't you? Eye to eye. So we know Jesus probably got eye to eye with this person. I'd like to tell you something from my days of being a young, wet behind the ears youth minister. Back in 1998, it was my first year of being in youth ministry. I took a group of youth and adults to Toronto, Canada. Or at least I thought I was in charge. Came to realize, without adults there to help you, it only gets more exciting. Friends, this trip that we took up to Canada, the mission organization that were the group leaders, took us to a park that during the night, they said, "This is a park we don't want to go to." And I was like, "Really, why?" "Well, it's really dangerous at night." "Great, we're going to take a bunch of youth here." They go, "But during the day, it's fine. There's no problems." I'm like, "Okay." And again, being the young, naive youth worker I was, I said, "Well, what happens at night?" And they looked at me kind of funny and said, "Well, lots of sexual activity and drug use." Oh. So as we're walking to the place, the park, there's a building that has a flag on it with a straight rainbow on it. This is back in 1998. And they go, oh, you know what that means, right? And I'm like, "What are you even talking about? I have no idea." And they said, "Well, you know that stands for gay pride and people standing up for that." And I was like, "I have no idea what you're talking about." And they go, "Well, this is the kind of area we're going to." And I was like, again, naive, not understanding. And as we get to the park, in the park, we're in the middle of it, and there's hedges all around, and didn't really see anybody in the park whatsoever. We get to the middle of the park. The group had taught us how to do one verse evangelism for people that may show up. And to be honest, I was thinking, I don't even know if anybody's going to come. Because we are in the middle, what at least seemed then, in the middle of nowhere. So we start worshiping the Lord. We start playing music, singing. And people just start coming out of the hedges like crazy. I don't know if they were sleeping in there. I have no idea. But we did not see these people when we walked in. And they just started coming. And we started worshiping the Lord and sharing the gospel with them, giving them food we had brought, water we had brought. And as we were singing, I looked out in the distance and saw a man coming toward us. It looked as if he had been in some kind of a fight before we got there, whether it was the night before or right before we got there, I don't know. And as he came closer, I noticed something about this man. And I can tell you that this experience I'm about to share with you changed my life. It made me realize I need to stand up for Christ in everything I do, no matter what. And not only did it change me, it changed our youth ministry and the church I was serving at to this very day. As the man was approaching, I noticed he was covered in blood. I mean covered. And he started walking toward us. I'd like to let you know that I was just this courageous, bold guy right away. But I'd like to share with you what went through my mind as I saw this man approaching us. I immediately thought of the safety of those students and the adults, which I was responsible for. Since I didn't know what he needed or if he was dangerous, I immediately began to consider, how could I keep this man a safe distance away from us and our group? I thought of my wife, whom I had married 10 months earlier and was pregnant with our very first child. I was very afraid, and I thought of my new family. For I didn't know if I touched this person, would I contract some sort of disease from this blood-covered man. Then it happened as he approached me. He stuck out his hand to shake mine in friendship. At that moment, I had a choice to make. Am I going to step away, or do I move in and shake his hand? What do I do? While that was going on, I heard in my spirit Jesus would touch this man. And I thought of the story that I shared with you about the leper. What seemed like a minute, which was probably about a second or two of contemplation, I'm glad to say I stuck out my hand, and not only did we shake hands, but we actually embraced. I am pleased to tell you that I believe with all my heart that one action changed not only me, but our whole youth ministry. We went from about 25 to 50 students in the youth ministry to somewhere between 200 to 300 students in our youth ministry active. This was over a span of 10 years. But I share that with you to understand that our actions have consequences, good or bad. We need to follow Christ in all that we do. If we're truly Christ followers, and Jesus was living with courage, are we? Jesus lived with honesty. Not just that he spoke the truth in love, friends. I'd like to take a look at Mark 10, 17 through 31 as we continue. Again, Mark 10, 17 through 31, and I'm sorry it will not be on the screen. So if you have your Bibles, I greatly encourage you to read that. We're going to take a look at how Jesus dealt with the rich young ruler. It states this: "Now as he was going on the road, One came running, knelt before him, that's knelt before Jesus, and asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." On a little side note, I'd like us just to listen to this. It said, "Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him." Now, it doesn't say he said to him something the man would not take offense to. He did not say that. He said something the man was going to have struggle to hear. He was telling the truth in love. That's Jesus' example. But as we go on, verse 22, he was sad at his word, it says, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Then Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life." Friends, I could go greatly into this story, but what I'd like to do is to direct you to a blog post that's been written by one of our bloggers for Worldview Warriors. His name is Chad Coons. For those of you who maybe in this day and age either aren't on the internet or you have really fun connections that you're going, "I don't know if I can get to there," I have copies of this up here for you to take a look through. The name of this blog post is "Why We Should Let People Walk Away." Chad says this: a loving God wouldn't do that. Jesus should have tried harder. He says, "I was astonished when I realized what was going on here in the story. It changed the way that I see God's interactions with mankind." I encourage you to find this. It's titled, "Why We Should Let People Walk Away," written by our blogger, Chad Coons. He's a worship leader in Pennsylvania. And since I'm telling you about our ministry, I'd like you to encourage you actually to go to worldviewwarriors.org. Go to our ministry. We have been raised for such a time as this, literally. There are blogs blog posts, podcasts. I do a radio program on Sunday nights called Do Not Keep Silent, 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. You can hear that on 90.1 FM out of Upper Sandusky. Friends, my friend and blogger, Chad Coons, he's challenged me personally and encouraged me greatly in this virtue of being honest. And what loving really looks like in these difficult situations. So Jesus was courageous. Jesus lived in honesty. And friends, Jesus also persevered. Jesus did not sin once. And he went to the cross. He persevered. I encourage you to have your Garden of Gethsemane moment in your life. What I mean is know what you are willing to do for the kingdom of God. I encourage you to go all in. Friends, character is tested in trials. Your character is built before the trial begins. Can your character be built in trials? Yes, I think so. But if you are totally wavering, it's hard to know what you believe. So pick your beliefs. Where am I with God? How far am I willing to go and say enough is enough? Where is your line in the sand you are unwilling to cross? I'm not talking about sin versus not sinning. What is God calling you to do, friends? We are at that point in history. Draw your line in the sand that you are unwilling to cross long before you get into your struggle. I'd like to wrap up with a poem titled Can't. Can't is the worst word that's written or spoken. Doing more harm here than slander and lies. On it is many a strong spirit broken. And with it, many a good purpose dies. It springs from the lips of the thoughtless each morning and robs us of courage we need through the day. It rings in our ears like a timely sent warning and laughs when we falter and fall by the way. Can't is the father of feeble endeavor, the parent of terror and half-hearted work. It weakens the efforts of artisans clever and makes of the toiler an indolent shirk. It poisons the soul of the man with a vision. It stifles in infancy many a plan. It greets honest toiling with open derision and mocks at the hopes and the dreams of a man. Can't is a word none should speak without blushing. To utter it should be a symbol of shame. Ambition and courage, it daily is crushing. It blights a man's purpose and shortens his aim. Despise it with all of your hatred of error. Refuse it, the lodgment it seeks in your brain. Arm against it as a creature of terror, and all that you dream of you someday shall gain. Can't is the word that is foe to ambition, an enemy ambushed to shatter your will. Its prey is forever the man with a mission and bows but to courage and patience and skill. Hate it with hatred that's deep and undying, for once it is welcomed, 'twill break any man. Whatever the goal you are seeking, keep trying. And answer this demon by saying, I can. Friends, I encourage you to ask yourself this morning, who am I putting my faith and hope and trust in? Before I ask the worship team to come back up to close us up, if you have a pen and a piece of paper, I would encourage you this morning, if God has given you a dream or a vision, to write it down. Write down what God might be calling you to do. I have no idea. You know. God has a plan for your life. That's not my plan. God wants to use his church to grow throughout the world. Grow the kingdom of God. Friends, we need to have courage like Jesus did. We need to live honestly, just like Jesus did. And we need to have perseverance just like Jesus did. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for this day. I thank you for making your presence known here in this place. We thank you that you are the King of the universe. We thank you that you're even willing to allow us to serve you. I ask in Jesus' name that you continue to give us opportunities to serve you. Help us, Lord, to draw the line in the sand that you're calling us to draw. Help us to live for you in all that we do. Help us to say, in and through the Lord and his will, I can. It's in Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. I just want to challenge you with a little story from my own life. A gentleman that really helped me to say, okay, we're going to go live the adventure with Christ. My friend, about 20 years older than me, maybe not that old, 15 at least. And as we were starting Worldview Warriors, he looked at me. He said, Jason, you have a decision to make. Are you going to get in the boat or are you going to stay on the dock? And I asked him, what do you mean? He goes, Jason, right now you have a foot in the boat and you have 1 foot on the dock. And the boat is pulling away from the dock. He goes, you can't choose both. You need to have both feet in the boat or both feet on the dock. But God is giving you a choice. You can choose to go join him in this adventure that goes out to the ocean and the real deep water and go have an unbelievable time. Or you can stay on the safety and security of the dock and just live your life. He goes, neither one's really bad. But God is letting you choose. I share this with you because some of you are doing that right now in your own lives. You have a foot in the boat and one on the dock. And the boat is pulling away from the dock. If you choose both, you're going to get all wet. That's it. You're not going to go have an adventure and you don't get to stay where it's nice and safe and secure. You just get to be wet. Now, some of you who decide to jump in the boat, I want to encourage you with this. Get out of the harbor. That is nice and safe, and don't think, oh, we're having a great time here. No, no, no. Get out of the harbor and get out to the deep water and go have your adventure that God has called you to do. He has made you in his image and he loves you. He's given you these dreams and these visions for a reason. You do what you want to do. You do what God is calling you to do. For me and my family, We chose to get in the boat. And I'm here to tell you, they didn't even know it. Is that right? They're just smiling because they're going, this is embarrassing. We jumped in the boat. I encourage you, do the will of God. You're not hearing me say, jump in the boat or get on the dock. That's not what I'm saying. What you need to hear me say is, what is God's will for you in the family of God? Do His will. Go read Galatians 1 later today. Dig into that to understand this idea I'm sharing with you. Go live in peace this week in the will of God. We also have these blog posts available if you'd like. And if you'd like to know more about the ministry, you can come up here and talk to me. God bless and go live in the Lord.